Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's a reason I asked Joshua Byers to play Purple Rain. We just talked about it in the last hour. The best Super Bowl halftime performance ever. And it's not even close. I'm not willing to have a discussion about anybody else. I don't want to hear about U2 or the Rolling Stones or Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. Controversial. It didn't ruin my life at all. I don't care. There's no discussion on this. There's just not.
Everything's better with Prince in the background.
Life's just better. And another reason I asked Joshua to play this today is because I follow this Twitter account called Old School 80s, and they put up fun birthdays for people who grew up in the 80s and, you know, things like that. Just lost my spot. Wendy, who was part of Prince and the Revolution, Wendy and Lisa. Wendy? Yes, Lisa. That's a song you'll have to... tell you about that later. We don't talk about that one on the air. Wendy from Prince and the Revolution was her and Lisa wrote Purple Rain, and Wendy's 56 years old today. That's almost the perfect song. I might say it's the perfect song of all time. You can't get better. You just can't. We're going to now head to South Beach. Super Bowl 54, Chiefs and 49ers. Darren Smith, Sports Radio 810 WHBN, ESPN Kansas City, is there. Darren, are you going to offer me a fight on Prince being the greatest halftime show of all time, or will you agree with me?
Brother, I'm telling you, just that alone, your stock is risen in my book because I remember that very vividly. I watched that YouTube clip just of the whole Prince halftime performance and how it came to be and all the rain. Trust me, man, you will get no fight from me. That is the gem. You did well, my friend.
Well, I tell you what, the first couple of times I found it on YouTube, I would watch it, and then like a week later, I would go back and it would be taken down. Then it would go up and then be taken down. I think it's still on there right now. Because then they tried to substitute the people behind the scenes talking about the performance without showing the performance. But I think it's been back. And when you got to the end and he starts playing Purple Rain and the big sheets go up and you see his shadow and then the rain is pouring down while he's singing Purple Rain, that's a mic drop. Super. Everybody else who's come after is not going to match it. Sorry.
No, look, I agree. I like Prince first. I think Michael Jackson second, and then Beyonce third. Well, Beyonce said Bruno Mars third, but no, Prince is undoubtedly the greatest halftime performance I've ever seen.
And look, I'm looking forward to Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. I think they'll put on a great performance, and them performing together I think is going to be terrific. It's just not going to be better than Prince.
No argument, Sam. No argument at all.
Well, Darren, kind of set the scene for us, because let me lay this out. Sports Radio 810 WHB has a large contingent that is going to be going down at different points during the week. You're already there. You got the head start. Soren Petro's going down, I think, Tuesday. Stephen St. John is heading down. Todd Lebo is going to head down. Allie Trost is going to be there. So kind of set the scene for us in Miami. Is it already being overrun by Chiefs and 49ers fan, or will that happen later in the week?
That will happen later in the week, but a lot of people are coming down. I know some of the media, they started traveling down today. I know Stephen St. John, Jason Anderson, and Todd Lebo, they all show up this evening. And so I'll be the first to actually hit Radio Row. I'm going to pick up my set of credentials today when the convention center opens, and then I'll get my area set up. Hopefully it'll be right next to Sports Radio 810. We have two tables down there, and so we'll be just broadcasting live all week. I know Allie, Pamela, and Seren come Tuesday night, so they'll be set up for Wednesday through Friday, but the rest of us will be broadcasting live all week long on both Sports Radio 18 and ESPN Kansas City. So that being the case, look, I mean, the Chiefs show up, they land at about 4:40 Eastern time today. I should be out there in time to capture them landing at the airport, and we'll show that live on our Sports Radio 810 Facebook page as well.
I'll tell you what, Darren, that's the most important lesson that I learned in 20 years of doing television. Not a lesson, but the most important thing to management people when you're playing a big game, if you're at the Final Four, if you're at the Super Bowl, at the World Series, you got to get either the plane landing or the bus arriving at the hotel, Darren. It doesn't matter what else happens the rest of the week. If you don't get the bus or the airplane, you might as well just come home.
Man, look, you talking about pressure, because I have to let right now I'm in an Uber going over to our hotel. I stayed at one hotel, but I'm checking into our media hotel as we, you know, in about the next 5 minutes or so. And so, you know, trying to make sure I'm there over at the convention center by between 1 and 1:30. Got to pick it up by 2 o'clock and then leave from there and go straight out to the airport, you know, and wait for a couple of hours for a plane to arrive. And then it's not like we get a chance to actually talk to them. It's just a photo op. So really just standing out there for a couple of hours just for, you know, 15 minutes of the players walking off the plane and getting into a bus, and that's all the footage that we get for tonight. Obviously, the big thing is going to be opening night tomorrow night at the Marlins Park with the Chiefs from 7:10 to 8 o'clock, and then the 49ers at 9 o'clock. And that's everything I'm saying is local time, which is Eastern time, so it'll be an hour back for you all.
And I know you'll have it covered and send back a lot of great stuff for Sports Radio 810 WHB and for ESPN Kansas City. So as you're getting acclimated to South Beach and Miami, look, Miami's done this a number of times. They know how to host big events. Sometimes if it's a new city, there can be struggles in kind of getting through it. But the NFL kind of runs everything. So what in the short time that you've been there, what stands out about Miami? Do they have Chiefs and 49ers flags everywhere? Do they have welcoming committees at the hotel? What are they doing for the fans and the media to kind of set the scene for the rest of the week?
They do have the welcome committee. They actually have it at the airport. So the airport, between the airport and like the rider apps between Uber and Lyft and stuff, I mean, you will get inundated with Super Bowl talk. Folks knowing that they're going to be in for making a lot of money this week, driving folks around if they don't want to get rentals. Look, everything has been price gouged outside of the food, thankfully. But hotels and public transport, not public transport, but rentals and stuff, often gouged, knowing that everybody's coming to town this week. But look, that's the beauty of it. I mean, this, you know, if Kansas City would have ever voted to get that rolling roof or whatever, we might have been able to host the Super Bowl and, you know, might have some good things come with it, kind of the economic. The NFL is going to make, or the city of Miami is going to make, at least $100 million this week with just the amount of tourism that they're going to get. I mean, there's a lot of people coming down from Kansas City that's not even going to be going to the game.
I heard that. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't understand that either, but that's, you know.
You just want to be a part of it. It's like I was watching, sometimes I get insomnia, and it helps, like when the Australian Open tennis tournament is going on at 3 in the morning, and there are people in chairs outside of the stadium watching on big screens. I'm like, well, why don't you just go home or go to a bar or something? You know what? Whatever. This is the way I look at it, though. However you want to enjoy it, do it. I mean, the Chiefs, it's been 50 years. If going to Miami and just being around it is going to make you happy, go do it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, I've never understood, you know, look, if you got the money, the Super Bowl is not made in this day and age for the average Joe like yourself and I.
Nope.
So, look, I'm fortunate. Look, I don't take what I do lightly or irresponsibly. So I know I'm blessed, you know, being able to cover the game and the role that I play. Thank you very much. sorry, getting out the Uber. But that being said, look, you know, it's for people to spend the ungodly amount of money that it's going to cost just to come down here and get a hotel room and everything else, and, you know, just to not even be inside the stadium, I don't understand it. But again, it's not my money. I'm not spending it. So,
all right, have you seen people walking around offering tickets? And if so, what are they going for on the street?
I've seen people walking around offering things, but trust me when I tell you, it ain't tickets, brother. It ain't tickets that they offer. That's all I'm saying, man.
Hey,
this is Miami.
I've been to South Beach. I know what goes on, okay?
Exactly.
And I had the one time I went to South Beach for a Chiefs game was the game when the hurricane was coming in and the Chiefs and Dolphins were forced to move the game up to I believe a Friday, was it a Thursday or a Friday? And we had to get out of Kansas City late on the day before, and we got to the hotel at midnight. We went down to South Beach, and you can eat dinner at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning in South Beach. And there's other things going on as well. So we had a good time, though. We went to a bar where they had people dancing on, like, salsa dancers on the bar. I mean, it was crazy. It's just, it's a wild scene. I've seen the tickets. Maybe you hadn't seen the tickets yet, but I've seen tickets online going for like $5,000. And, you know, like you said, you and I are regular people. I don't have $5,000 for a Super Bowl ticket, but it is what it is, I guess.
But I don't do that. I don't have the ticket value price. What is it, $1,700?
Yeah.
I talked to Mark Collins, I believe it was Thursday. I had him on the show, and he was telling me when he played back in 86, his first time at the Super Bowl with the Giants, the tickets were $275. I'm like, I wish you could find just a standard room only ticket for that price. But yeah, it's crazy. I think, you know, and looking at what I read on one website, it says that Chiefs fans have bought up the greatest amount of tickets thus far for the Super Bowl, which is, I think, like they said, like 22% of the tickets in San Francisco, 19%. So, you know, people are really. Look, granted, they've had 50 years to save up, I would imagine. But it's still a lot of money for just one, let alone two, and those who are bringing a family or getting a suite. They said the cost of a suite is almost $400,000.
Wow!
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't even – there's too much that could be done with that kind of money, but I'm not – it's neither here nor there with that.
Well, we saw the video go around on Twitter – this week of Brad Pitt. He was at one of the 57 award shows they have out in Hollywood, and some fan on the red carpet tossed him a Chiefs hat, and he put it on and he wore it off. And first of all, I'm thinking, I thought a couple things. One, great, Brad Pitt is embracing the Chiefs. He's from Springfield, you know, he's embracing his team. But two, I was like, Brad, why don't you autograph that and send it back? I mean, you can afford the $30 for a new hat, right?
Right.
But I don't think celebrities are weird people. They don't think like that. So maybe a Brad Pitt will drop $400,000 on a suite at Hard Rock Stadium.
Well, you know, I'll settle for Brad Pitt stopping by our tables at Radio Row and doing some radio jobs for us. I'll settle for that if he's not going to splurge on a ticket or not.
I don't think he's going to be. I don't think Brad Pitt's going to be one of those guys who the PR person comes around, because I know how the Super Bowl works. Because Soren goes every year, and you'll have a PR person go, "Hey, we got Bakey Stevens, and he's promoting diet spritzers. Can you get him on the show?" And then they give you this, they promote their product, and then they finally allow you to interview him. I don't see Brad Pitt going around, "Hey, I want to promote my new movie." That's not Brad Pitt style. No.
It's definitely not. Pat, this will be my third year doing Radio Row, so I've already got guests. I've sent some texts out, and people are like, "Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna be come stopping by," and you know, and everybody's sending me emails trying to see can they get their people
right,
you know, onto my show, and I'm like, yes. I'm like, just, you know, the crazy thing is that I can't put everybody on the schedule because I have to kind of build my schedule around the NFL media, because they have some availability stuff that, you know, in press conferences that you kind of want to retain, like Roger Goodell, player, NFL PA, and, you know, then of course the NFL teams and stuff like that. So trying to navigate that water, and then, you know, some people who you have on the show, they want to show for their thing as well. So you got to try to be like, okay, I'll be there. And so now you got to try to, you know, schedule that in there as well, just to at least make an appearance, you know, kind of like a trade off or something. So, and now the trade off, of course, these are big name people that you have to do it for. So, you know, but that being the case, look, this is worth it. I'm not complaining whatsoever. This is, to me, this is like the payoff for a job well done throughout the year.
Sure.
Of course, you can't top it off with no more than your home team making it to the big game when you get a chance to cover it.
Well, for as far as celebrity interviews go, I got an email this week saying, you know, we have this list of former players. Can we get them on your show? I think it was from the NFL Players, the Retired Players Association or something. And I said, I got all these hours on Saturday and Sunday. Give me anybody you want. I got crickets, so, you know, that's fine. I'll tell you this, Darren. No one is ever going to top the promotion that Ronnie Lott did a few years ago for the avocados, that you hear it all the time on the Border Patrol with Steven and Nate and Jake, in which he accidentally cursed during the interview. It was, and they run it every once in a while on the Border Patrol, and it's the funniest thing you'll ever hear. So, Darren, we're speaking with Darren Smith. He is in South Beach getting ready for Chiefs and 49ers Super Bowl 54, part of our large contingent from Sports Radio 810 WHB down there to cover the game. So as you get ready moving forward, I thought it was interesting that some of the Chiefs players were out at events on Saturday in Kansas City. And, you know, they were charitable events. And, you know, Juan Thornhill, he's not going to play, obviously. But other players were out doing charitable appearances. And I was like, man, I guess as a player, you obviously don't think about it like a fan. Like, I would be like, I got to go home. I got to, you know, I got to settle down. I got to watch some more film. I got to go through the plays again. But they're trying to keep this as normal as is humanly possible for the biggest game of your entire life.
Yeah, look, it's going to be normal until they actually touch down and, you know, they see the throng and media contingent, because this is not a normal game or a normal week whatsoever. And so, I remember asking some of the players, I think, at the press conference this week, like, you know, when will it finally hit them? And like you said, you know, most of them, it'll hit them once they get here. And I think once they get to, like, open at night, obviously, you get all the bells and whistles, and then you see just the full force of the media that's out there. You know, when you're sitting up on the podium and, you know, all the glitz and the lights and the glamour and stuff, that's when it, I think, for them, it'll finally hit them. I mean, obviously, making it and trying to do all the travel stuff for your friends and family and get tickets and everything, that's one thing. But it's still another when it actually hits you, and then you kind of got to, you know, have an off-on a switch to get focused, you know, back on the game and what you're there for. So you obviously don't want to get distracted by the lights and the glitz and being in Miami. You know what goes on in Miami, you know, and the distractions that are there, because you still have a job to do. Now, you can do all that after
right.
You know, get a dub on February 2nd at about 10 o'clock Eastern or 10:30.
Well, I tell you what, one thing about the Super Bowl, it's not going to be new for Terrell Suggs.
That is correct.
And the Chiefs picked him up, you know, with a couple of games to go. We all know that. And my thinking going in was, you know, he might play 15 plays a game, but he's been up to 20 to 25 plays. And he's, even if he hasn't gotten the sacks, he's put enough pressure on to make me think, yeah, definitely worth it. Plus, it was a position of need for the Chiefs. What's been Terrell Suggs' message this week to all the players who have never experienced anything like this before?
Again, like you said, don't forget why we're here. You know, there's a job at hand that you have to do. When you're a vet like him and you've learned from someone like Ray Lewis at the time, you know, you're able to pass on that message. And at the end of the day, it's still about business. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have you take care of your family and you spend some quality time with them, but remember that we're here to do a job, and that at the end of the day, if nobody's gonna remember you if you come in second place. If you win, you can, you know, put your stamp on history. And then you can always come back to Miami afterwards and have all the fun that you want. But it's nothing like being here. You know, enjoy the moment, capsulate it, and then, you know, handle your business.
We're speaking with Darren Smith, Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City. He is in South Beach for Super Bowl 54, Chiefs and the 49ers. 5:30 kickoff next Sunday, and it ain't going to kick off at 5:30, Darren. That's not going to happen.
What's the over-under on that?
I don't know. But as you get ready for this game, Joshua and I have been kicking it around this morning, how you think the game will unfold, close game, high scoring, low scoring, all that kind of stuff. And so I just kind of start with the line. The Chiefs are favored by 1.5. I'm taking the Chiefs and giving up 1.5. And again, I don't bet real money on this. The over-under is 54.5 total points. I would stay away from that because weird things happen in the Super Bowl. And I'm kind of thinking in my head 27-20 Chiefs right now. I'm not settled on that yet. But how do you kind of see this unfolding? What are you looking for strength positions for the Chiefs or weaknesses that the 49ers could exploit? How do you see this all unfolding next week?
Glad you asked. I will say this. The thing that worries me the most has been the Chiefs' slow start, which is something that they've acknowledged even in the press conference this week, that they've got to do a better job of not starting off slow. And, you know, most of it has been, you know, done by the Chiefs' own making, where, you know, the offense gets out on the field and then they just start dropping passes left and right. So if they can avoid that, which I believe, you know, look, you'll have some early game jitters, but hopefully it won't be to the point that you know, it's like, come on, man, this is 3 weeks in a row, fellas. I do like the Chiefs bigging at him. Honestly, look, everybody knows about Patrick Mahomes. He's the league MVP up until next Saturday. But I really believe that on a worldwide stage, Patrick Mahomes is going to shock the world with his play, and people are going to be talking about him after next Sunday's game for many years to come. I think, you know, everyone wants to talk about his run that he had last week, which was, to me, was just an average Patrick Mahomes run. But because of the moment and when it took place, you know, it'll be something that Chiefs fans will remember. But I really believe in next Sunday's game, he's going to do something, whether it's going to be a deep ball to Tyreek or Hardman. I really think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a signature moment in the Super Bowl. Obviously, if the Chiefs win, he's going to be the MVP. That's just pretty much how it's going to play out and unfold. But I really think that the key is, for me, Kansas City has to get a lead. Once they get the lead, I don't see the defense relinquishing it, whether it's a 7-0 lead or even a 14-10 or something like that. I think Kansas City has to. Once they take the lead, you'll feel the momentum shift, and then if the defense gets one stop, if they get one stop and Patrick can take advantage of it and they're up by 14, that's the ball game.
We're speaking with Darren Smith. He's down in South Beach covering Super Bowl 54 for Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City. You mentioned the MVP award is going to be announced Saturday. We all know it's going to be Lamar Jackson. But let me ask you this, Darren, and maybe it's just because it's proximity and I'm too close to covering Patrick Mahomes. I get that it's a regular season award. I get that Mahomes missed a couple of games with some injuries, and Lamar Jackson was terrific. This is not a knock on Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But if they waited to vote until after the playoffs, and you saw what Patrick Mahomes did over his two games and what Lamar Jackson did in his one game, might the vote turn different?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. I'm going to have to use that for a topic of discussion this week. Actually, I think I will. You know what? I don't know how to answer that, because I would still say that Lamar would get it just based off the team's record. Because if you saw it, if you were to do it like that, then Tom Brady would have a lot more regular season MVP.
Yes, agreed.
Than the three that he has now.
Agreed.
So it would be a little unfair, and I think I was someone, because if that's the case, then Patrick Mahomes might not have won it last year. You know, So I would say, but then again, you saw how the Super Bowl turned out. They're like, okay, well, we might still give it to Patrick. But no, I would still give it to Lamar. It would be much closer. I would say Patrick would be the runner-up versus Russell Wilson or someone like that. But I think Lamar, for what he did, and you got to remember, you know, no. Just like Patrick, nobody could tell you, Andy Reid included, could tell you that Patrick was going to be a 50-touchdown, 13-interception quarterback leading his team to a 12-4 record. So using that same analogy, especially how Lamar turned out in the playoffs his rookie season, where I think he only passed for like 25 yards, nobody expected him to have the turnaround and lead the team to a 14-2 record and the success they had leading the league in touchdown passes at that. For a quote-unquote running back, nobody expected this. So I would just say, if you stick with the narrative and the storyline that nobody knew what to expect of Patrick Mahomes, the same could be said. Nobody knew that Lamar Jackson was going to make the stride that he did from year number one to year number two. So I would still say Lamar Jackson with a close second of Patrick Mahomes.
All right, we're speaking with Darren Smith. He's in South Beach, Super Bowl 54, Chiefs and 49ers, 1 week from today. Darren, I don't know where you're, how it works out on game day at the Super Bowl, but if you're not in the press box, I know they have large media areas with TVs and those sorts of things. But the game this year is on Fox.
Yep.
And it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Now, I would rather they work out a situation like with Jay Billis at ESPN. You know, he's allowed to go work for CBS during the NCAA tournament. I would like to see a situation where they could throw. Tony Romo into the broadcast booth instead of Aikman. But let me ask you this about Joe Buck.
Okay.
Because we all know around here in Kansas City, people really don't particularly care for him because of the 2014 World Series. But I pose this to you, and this is just for fun. This is totally unserious. Joe Buck could be in a situation where he gives Patrick Mahomes the Madison Bumgarner treatment, and all of a sudden he's the most popular guy in Kansas City, and people in San Francisco can't stand him. It might flip, right?
Oh, gosh. No, that won't happen. But the fact that you were able to come up with that analogy, Brad, you are great at your job.
Well, I was just looking at the schedule. I'm like, oh, man, the game's on Fox. It's going to be Joe Buck, and people around here don't like Joe Buck.
Well, but actually now, yeah, and what's the greatest thing is that you don't have to worry about Joe Buck giving the award to Patrick. It'll be Terry Bradshaw.
There you go.
During the post game, so Chiefs fans can at least have a sigh of relief on that you don't have to have an image of Joe Buck and Patrick Mahomes in the same frame together.
Yeah.
So,
look, I mean, I say this good-naturedly. I think Joe Buck is a really good broadcaster, okay? I don't have a problem with him as a broadcaster. But the Baumgartner stuff was – and you know what? Honestly, Baumgartner deserved it. He pitched his rear end off in the World Series, but it did seem a little over the top at times. We're speaking with Darren Smith. A couple of final things for you, Darren, because I know you actually have work to do today in Miami. Will you devote more than 5 minutes to watching the Pro Bowl today? There's no Chiefs players. There's no incentive, but you throw 5 minutes at it and that's it, or do you just ignore it completely?
I will probably throw 5 or 10 minutes. I'll probably watch it on my phone, depending on because I don't even know what time does it kick. Is it 2 o'clock?
Two o'clock on ESPN and ABC.
Okay, so it'll be 3 o'clock my time. I'll probably watch a little bit of it on my phone, so that'll be hopefully at the airport on my way to the airport at that time to get the Chiefs landing. So, yeah, I'll be doing it. But to answer your previous question before you asked where I'll be at Super Bowl Sunday, I will actually be in the press box. I think I'll be in the auxiliary because I don't think they're going to have local radio inside the press box. So I think we'll be an auxiliary table right outside the press box, which is cool because when I do my pregame show and stuff, I'll be able to get the audience and the crowd and stuff in the actual picture and stuff versus – you know, having to be all cool, calm, and quiet in the press box. So I can act the fool and have the biggest pregame show in Chiefs history since they didn't have one in 1970.
No. They didn't roll out 3 hours of pregame on, back then it would have been on what, KCMO radio?
Who knows?
The old 710 KCMO, I think. I don't know. I wasn't born yet, but
right.
Well, Darren, I tell you what, I've had the good fortune in my career to cover two World Series, two MLS Cups for Sporting KC and the Wizards, a couple of Final Fours with KU, and just a lot of big games over the years. I've never gotten to cover a Super Bowl, and that's fine. We got a big team down there, and what I want you to do is just take some time while you're at the game or at the stadium to just look around and say, I'm at the gosh darn Super Bowl, for crying out loud. You just don't let it pass you by so fast.
I'll be honest with you. I actually started that last week. I had a post on Facebook actually saying that, you know, I'm going to be covering the Super Bowl and the Chiefs, whatever. And I'm like, I have to remind people, like 6 months ago, I wasn't even on 810 or ESPN Kansas City. And the fact that I can type that and say that I'm covering the game, that says something. But, the thing is that, in all seriousness, look, this is, you know, I got a chance to cover the Super Bowl last year, but I was, like you said, I was in one of those rooms where, you know, they have the media when it's an overflow. So I'm in a room watching TV, not in the actual stadium. This time around, I'm going to be inside and covering our home team. So trust me when I say I don't take it lightly. I think back to when I first started my very first foray into this was a sophomore in high school with Max Sports Clay at 103, and he had me on as his intern, and my first game that I covered was the Monday Night Football game with the Kansas City Chiefs in 1994. So the fact that I'm here today because of him and where I'm at in my career is because of him, and the fact that I get a chance to cover the Super Bowl today. He was unfortunately sat down a couple of years ago, but I'm here today, you know, on the shoulders of people like him that have, you know, helped group be here, and I just hope to do as good a job as I plan on trying to be down here for the station and for Kansas City.
All right, two final things for you, Darren. I know you've told us before you don't drink, even though there's gonna be plenty of parties there, and I'm pretty sure if you're already on that end, you're probably not a gambler, and it's illegal in the state of Florida.
No. Whoa. I don't know. I do gamble now.
Okay.
Craps is my weakness.
Okay. Now, well, then I can throw this to you. If sports wagering were legal in Florida, would you take the Chiefs and give up a point and a half?
Yes, and actually, because of that, I got a guy that's going to Vegas later on this week. I'm sending him some money to put down for me.
There you go. So, baby.
Hopefully they don't let me down. And I will say this before I go, that I talked to Patrick in the barbershop Friday, and we were joking because he couldn't do my show last year on Radio Row. Then when I saw him at the barbershop later on the year, he said, man, Darren, I want to do it. You know how he does it in his voice.
Yes.
I said, man, look, I need you on Radio Row this year. He said, Darren, he said, no offense, but I plan on playing in the Super Bowl. I said, you know what? I can accept that. Then so then Friday, we circled around and said, hey, man, you remember the conversation? We said, yeah, I wouldn't lie to you. I said, yeah, neither was I. So I said, that's a good thing. I said, so, you know, let's keep this up. I don't want you on Radio Row next year either. So, you know.
So wait a second. I got to back up here. I think you kind of buried the lead for the last 30 minutes. You go to the same barbershop as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, actually, I get my haircut right before he does.
Oh, Darren, you buried the lead. You should have led with that at the beginning of the show. So you talked to him at the barbershop, and he said, no, he's not going to be on Radio Row because he's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. That's awesome. That's huge.
Yeah, but that was months ago. That wasn't the
okay. Oh,
but
well.
No. He said a month. I mean, I still get my hair cut before he does. So I'm saying he came in, but I didn't get my hair cut this past Friday. But I had to go. I had to go to the barbershop to get my football because I had to have him sign. And I'm bringing and I brought it down here so I can have it set up on Radio Row so all the people that I interviewed will sign the football and stuff. So
there you go.
So when we had the conversation, he said, "Hey, you remember I told you?" He said, "I wasn't lying." I said, "No, you wasn't lying." I said, "That's a good thing because you're not playing in the Pro Bowl either this week." So, look, everything worked out the way it was. And, hey, we're here in Miami for Super Bowl 54, and there's no better place to be at right now.
I tell you what, if I got my hair cut before Patrick Mahomes on a regular basis at a barbershop, I would hire, like, an airplane with a banner flying off the back that says, do you know that I get my hair cut before Patrick Mahomes? I just would, because I'm that kind of person. So,
hey, well, look, here's the cool thing is that obviously, you know, well, you already know how Chiefs media works. So, you know, obviously
yes.
you can't really talk. You know, they won't let you, like, talk tomorrow. I'm like, I don't have to get it. I just see him at the barbershop.
I can't force him
at the barbershop.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't take that privilege lightly either. So, you know, I don't abuse it as some people would, but I let him. You know, we talk and then I let him get his haircut and then I go about my business, go on about his.
All right, Darren, I know you got to run, but a final piece of, if you're looking for good luck, if you're looking for karma, things like that, Demi Lovato singing the national anthem at Super Bowl 54. She also sang the national anthem before the 2015 World Series in which the Royals brought home a championship. So I'm just saying, Darren.
Okay. Hey, works for me.
All right. Hey,
it works for me.
I know you're working hard. It sounds like you're already in the at the hotel getting ready to go down to the media center. So have fun today going out to the airport, seeing the Chiefs get out the airplanes, get into the buses, and enjoy this week in South Beach. It's going to be a lot of hard work. But like I said, don't forget to take a few minutes to look around and take it all in.
I will. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
All right. That is Darren Smith, Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City. Good stuff. He's first one out. Well, we got a whole team going down there, but he's first one there. You always want to be the first one, right? Get situated, figure out where you're going. And they take care of the media. They'll put you on a bus and say, where do you need to go? I need to go here. Well, there's a bus for that. You need to go to the stadium. There's a bus for that. So, but just to get the lay of the land. Soak up the atmosphere. And to be in Miami, for crying out loud, right?
Two things I love about that.
Yep.
First, Bakey Stevens.
I just made that up.
That's a great one, selling the spritzers.
Yeah.
And then if you notice your barber, you know, washing the clippers after Patrick Mahomes, would you just be like, hey, don't worry about cleaning those. Just
use the same ones.
Fix me up.
Yeah. Use the same ones.
Yeah, just use the same ones.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Pretty sure it takes care of his hair. Pretty sure it's fine. Good stuff from Darren Smith. Maybe he's talked about it before, but I didn't know that he had a regular appointment right before Patrick Mahomes to get his hair cut. Learn something new. So Darren Smith is going to be down there this week, and he'll be at the game. We're sending a full team, including Seren Petro, Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo, Ali Trost. So Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City will have it covered all week long, taking you up to Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs and the 49ers. I went way long on the break, but that's okay because Darren's giving us good stuff from South Beach. Quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll see where we kick it around next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is one of the greatest TV theme song of all time. Miami Vice, Sonny Crockett, Ricardo Tubbs. God, I love this show. Edward James Olmos. They weren't afraid to break the rules, Josh. Weren't afraid to get their hands dirty dealing with drug dealers in Miami. Just a great theme song. We may have to bring that back in the next hour. I don't know. We'll see. And believe me, if you grew up in that time, everybody had either a pastel suit or a white suit with a pastel shirt, loafers with no socks. That show encapsulates that era of South Beach 100%. Love it, Miami Vice. By the way, a couple of responses on Twitter I want to answer. So we talked a little bit just for a few minutes about Mizzou and their game yesterday, just stinking out loud once again, and their starters combining for 14 points. Got a tweet from a KU fan who said, MU broke 50, baby steps. Man, it never goes away. Also got, we talked about Demi Lovato singing the national anthem for the Chiefs and the 49ers. And depending on where you look, the over-under on the, how long it will take her to sing it, you can get a minute 56, you can get 2 minutes. And Michael Cash tweeted at me randomly, is it illegal to wager on the prop bet for the length of your own national anthem? Could be free money for the singer and or her friends and family. Well, if anybody found out, that would not be a good thing. I don't know legally if you can do that, you tell your friend, I'm going to knock this out in 1 minute and 54 seconds. Go ahead and put a little bread on there. Put some down for myself, too. I don't know how that works, honestly.
How would you know if you're singing how long you're
going? Well, that's
going?
The thing. You'd have to have a clock or... So I know they have the monitors.
Take a peek at the watch.
Yeah. I know they have like the sound monitors in front of them so they can hear themselves. Maybe you have a little digital stopwatch. I don't know.
Not a bad idea.
It would be awfully hard to pull it off. One, nailing it in the exact same time. Although if you're a professional singer, you probably know exactly how long you've been singing. Length of time, I mean, for a performance. So I'm sure if you rehearsed it, 50 times, you're pretty good at nailing down the time. I don't know if that'd be legal or not. I'd have to ask somebody from Las Vegas or one of the other sports books. It's like, can you wager on people winning Survivor? Because if you won, wouldn't you just have your friend go to Vegas and put down like $1 million for you? I don't know how that works. I don't know, honestly. Things that do matter. Kansas City Chiefs football. We are now a week away from Super Bowl 54. We've waited 50 years. If you've been alive for more than 50 years, you've been waiting the whole 50. If you've been alive for fewer than 50 years, you've been waiting your whole life for this. Your whole life. We talked about a couple of different aspects of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo, is it going to be... Is San Francisco just going to pound the rock? Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to pull something from his Saints performance and be able to wing it down the field? Don't know. You have to wait and see. Steve Spagnuolo has certainly done his part as the new defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs in getting players in the right position, whether it's Tyrann Mathieu coming in fresh and being a leader and evolving with this defense, whether it's using Charvarius Ward in better spots, whether it's using Anthony Hitchens in better spots, whether it's using Tonnell Passanio in better spots. He's done a lot to make this defense better. And here are the comments from Steve Spagnuolo from earlier this week out at the Arrowhead practice facility.
All right, good afternoon. It looks a little lighter than it was last week. I think it would be a little bit heavier. But yeah, remember it's down in warm weather, right? Great to be here. Excited to be involved in this game. Really happy for the guys and what they did last week to lead us to this. And just enjoying the process. We're back practicing. That's a good thing. So with that, I'll open it up.
Coach, do you feel your team is in condition for the heat? And how can you tell being here in the cold?
I'm going to leave that up to the head coach. He's talked about it. Like Andy was talking about it even back a few weeks ago, just in case. And I don't really know that. It's hard to tell that. We'll find out when we get down there. We'll get down there early enough to get used to it. So hopefully that won't be a problem.
Steve, you've been from one really vaunted running game to another. But can you talk just about how different it is preparing for this style of running attack?
The one thing is that San Francisco's got a bunch of guys they can put back there and hand the ball off to. I mean, last week we were really concentrated on one number, 22. I think Kyle does a really good job with changing. Like it appears to us that he'll look at the defense he's playing and attack with those particular runs. It may not be what we saw, what they ran against Green Bay last week or Minnesota the week before. And I think he's really good at that. So we'll have to figure that out early and try to find a way to control it.
What about defending the speed of
those running backs
in particular?
Yeah, a little bit. The system has always been, you know, his dad and the Alex Gibb, the whole, when I was with Gary Kubiak in Baltimore, it was very similar. And what they're really good at is getting you to run east-west and then cutting it back. And they have speed guys that can do that. One of the things we tried to do last week was try to get there before the running back got started. These guys, that's a challenge. They're really good at it. We'll have to come up with a couple of things to slow it down. But more than anything, cutback to me is huge. We talk about tracking the hip when the run goes away from you. And that's something that we've got to put in the forefront of our thinking when they run the football.
There's a lot of talk about that running game, but at the same time, they've got George Kittle, Sanders. What kind of challenge does it present to y'all also that you have to be aware of those other weapons?
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to this point, you know, the final game without having a lot of weapons. It's not just one thing. We can't be blind to the fact that we're going to put all our money, all our eggs in one basket and try to stop the run, because what you said, what they have skill out there. I mean, and that's what probably has led them to scoring all the points that they've had. Makes the run game better. We're going to have to pick our spots when we want to take a certain guy away. And more than anything, I think we got to play our defense the way we know how to play it and be as concerned about what we do as what they do. I tell you what, we were really impressed at how good a run blocker he is. I mean, we know what he can do. But, you know, there are many games we go in and say, look, our DNs, there's no way we can lose a blocking battle with a tight end. You know, they're just teams that, you know, have tight ends that are more receivers. But this guy, he's as all around a tight end as I think we've seen this year. And I give him tremendous credit for the emphasis he puts on run blocking, and he looks like he enjoys doing it.
Coach, really good. You guys have been able to obviously overcome with, you know, collectively a slow start. Not just your unit, but how was the Super Bowl different? Having been there, I mean, I know the way it went with the Giants and Pats, it was always kind of toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
But is the emotion different? Is all the hoopla mean that you, in this game, you really can't afford to play from behind the way you guys have been fortunate enough to do the first two
games? Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's some truth to that. Nobody wants to get behind. Certainly on defense, you'd like to be out a couple of scores or possessions, because then you can call things a little bit differently. But typically in these games, as we know, I mean, we got two good football teams, right? They usually nip and tuck and tight, you know, and we're going to have to be prepared either way. I've always said this defensively, is our job never changes. It doesn't matter what the score is. And I'm probably a pain in the neck that way. We could be up by three touchdowns with a minute left, and I've seen crazy things happen in the game of football, so it's not over to me. And conversely, you know, when you get behind, you got to scratch your way back. We've been able to do that. We'd like to have a fast start defensively and let our offense go to work. That would be the hope.
Coach, following up on that, Coach, obviously, you were the defensive coordinator there at Miami Dolphins, undefeated Super Bowl, undefeated New England team in 2007.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
But how has your week of preparation, and do you see your front line able to attack the 49ers front line similar in the way that the Giants did with the Patriots?
Yeah, different teams, different scheme. You know that you know, with Tom and they had a run game and they could get the ball to Randy Moss and a bunch of other talented receivers. This one's a little bit different. You know, there's more two back. That brings a whole another realm into it. They got a really good fullback. I was with Kyle in Baltimore. He presents a headache because he's not just a fullback. They can put him anywhere. They can make him a wideout. They can make him a tight end. It's different that way. So we're, obviously trying to defend the scheme and what they do. My mind's not back on, what happened years ago. I'm just hoping that we can do the fundamentals of defensive football. If you don't do that first, it's not going to matter. And I go back with our guys all the time. We can put all the defense we want on the wall. If we're not going to tackle and get off blocks and get to the football, then none of that's going to matter anyway. So that doesn't change.
And as you're also talking about the penalties,
obviously. Yeah, that hurt us last week. We did. I flashed that up on Tuesday. We talked about it. We can't do that. That's hard enough to, stop people when they're just grinding away than giving them free five or whatever it is. That's a good point. We can't do that.
San Francisco's won a lot of different ways this year. They throw eight passes last week, but who knows, they throw 20 next year.
Yeah.
How hard is that to prepare? Is that more film? Like, what do you stress to counteract? Okay, just because they did this last week doesn't mean.
Yeah, I think that their offensive staff and Kyle do a great job with that. They look at the team they're going to play. They attack what they think are the weaknesses. It's not just, this is the system, this is what we're going to do. That's quite obvious. And they do have a lot of different ways of winning. I mean, it helps that they got an outstanding defense. Defensive football, and I'm sure their special teams are good. I haven't studied that. But they just look like a complete team to me. We're only concerned with one phase of it because that's our job. And we'll try to find a way to slow it down.
Coach, I'll follow up on that. This is a bye week, right? The Super Bowl's different. It's 2 weeks, but you get 2 weeks with bye weeks and everything. In general, you've talked about how the first quarter you kind of feel it out and see what they're going to do, but how much new stuff can a team come up with? They're going to play to their – Kittle's going to be involved. So
yeah.
I'm not going to just sit him down, but how often during a bye week do you get like, wow, we had to digest a lot there on the run?
You mean after the game's over?
Right.
But
anybody, since you got the extra week,
yeah.
How much can they install new stuff?
You talking about their offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. It'll be a play or two here or there. I don't see them venturing too far from what they are. But I will say this: there's going to be something there that we haven't prepared against. And so again, it's going to go right back to our fundamentals. If you're in zone coverage, having zone eyes. If you're in man coverage, make sure you keep your eyes on your man. And that's the way. That's the best chance you have of defending something new, in my opinion. Because there will be. There's going to be something new there. We might have something new.
So when you talk about that subject, Steve, but. Give me thoughts about Eli retiring?
Just good thoughts. Listen, I think the world of Eli. I'm happy for him. Had a tremendous career. I was blessed to be with him and shared in the ultimate moment. So I wish him all the best.
Steve, in the short time that Suggs has been here, he's done it forever, have you picked his brain or see how he can tell other guys just the nuances that he knows in the game?
Yeah, great question. Last week there was a moment like that. The linebacker coaches came over to me and said, wow. They said, T. Suggs was just over there talking about this particular technique that we do with our defensive ends. And he goes, he just put on a clinic. He said, everybody, all the linebackers, and nobody said anything. Just listen to him. That's what he can do. I think when you come somewhere new, you don't do that initially. So it's kind of taken a little bit. And now I think he's getting more comfortable. But he's been a tremendous addition and a real help to the players in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways.
When you talk about the fact that they will probably have a different game plan for you. So you mentioned earlier that the fact that you're going to have to see what they're doing and then make your adjustments. This group of players that you have, how good are they at seeing those types of things and helping you in that process?
I tell you, they're great, but I lean tremendously on the coaches. I mean, Matt House and Brendan Daly, who are right over there on the sideline with me, and Dave's up top, and Sam and Britt. I mean, they're huge in that. All those guys have been through the fire. So I really rely on them. I can't see everything. And my mind is on the next call, the next situation. And they're able to sit back and say, look, they're doing this. We might want to think about, calling a couple of these. They're great that way. I would put the credit on them first and then the players absorbing it, embracing it, and going out and executing. And we got to be good at that. And that's what this game's all about, in-game adjustments.
Well, Steve, Steve has been a guy that you've increasingly trusted filling in for Hitch. What is it he's done to help you build that trust, and how do you help a young guy like that get ready for his
career? Yeah, he's a pro. And Matt and Britt spend a lot. See, Ben's a special teams player. So he's got these special teams meetings that he has to be to. So, but he comes earlier to visit, to meet with the linebacker coaches to be ahead of all that. He's a pro. He takes it serious. He's a cerebral guy. Iowa, right? That's how they build him up there. And he's a tough nut. I mean, I love him on game day. Nothing phases him. But He does a lot of roles for us. I mean, talk about special teams. I mean, he's a mic for us, and he backs up at other linebacker positions. And he's been great. Him and Hitch working together has been huge for our unit. Really has. Good. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo talking about preparing to play the San Francisco 49ers next week in Super Bowl 54. He wrapped up talking about Ben Neiman, another one of those Iowa guys, along with Anthony Hitchens. Gives you some good hard-nosed football, and they'll go against another Iowa guy in George Kittle. And the backup quarterback for the 49ers is C.J. Beathard, another Iowa guy. Quick timeout because I am way over on time. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Final minutes of hour number two. This is J-Lo. Mixing in some J-Lo, doing a halftime with Shakira at the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the 49ers next week. That's a good one. I like that. That gets you ready for on a cold, snowy day in Kansas City. That'll heat you up a little bit. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the 4th and 1 podcast, will join us. More Chiefs 49ers coverage. He's done the video analysis and breakdowns. Kind of tell us some things to look for and maybe some things we're not expecting. That's next. You're on Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.